Hello, lovelies. It is Lady Curious back with some more true crime stories. This one's a little different. It's actually going to be a series on my channel, kind of sporadically in between other videos. It is about hazing in college, especially fraternities and sororities, and the dangers, also some of the deaths that has occurred due to hazing throughout the decades. I'm going to start with the year 2021, and it's going to go backwards. This is the 21st century decade that I'm going to start with. And then my next video will be from the years prior. And it'll eventually get up to, I think, around the 1800s. This is not as in-depth as my other videos. This is just kind of a skim on each person that has passed away and some things that has came out of them passing away, like laws and people going to prison for it. Hazing can ruin lives, not just the person that gets hurt, people also doing it. This video is for educational and documentary purposes only. Please be nice in the comments. I do want to hear y'all talk about it in the comments, or if you have any suggestions of anyone else that you have heard of that has been hazed and did not make it, please leave their name down below if you know anybody. There is one young man that started this series for me, and he wasn't really hazed. But this made me go, what else happens that's kind of like this in college when kids are drinking and partying and that people overlook and these kids need to be remembered? This will actually probably be in my next video because this video only goes from 2021 to 2020. And this happened in 2019, but he's the reason why I'm doing these videos. And there's not much information. His name was William Alexander Molina. He was only 21 years old. And supposedly they were having a party with, unfortunately, Pi Kappa Alpha. And he was supposedly passed out on a reclining chair outside. And I guess his brethren thought it'd be funny to shoot him in the chest with a pellet gun. Well, unfortunately, this caused his death because it actually hit him in his heart. Pellet guns, they can go through the skin. I mean, people use them to kill animals, and it's worse than a BB gun. I remember one time when I was younger, I found my cat on my porch, could not breathe. We didn't know what was wrong with him. He was dying, and we had to rush him to the vet, and the vet found a pellet. And my neighbors was shooting my cat with a pellet gun, and he almost died because of it. So if it can affect animals, it can affect humans. But I always see his mother's TikToks, and it breaks my heart every single time I see him. Even tried to reach out to her to ask her if I can have more information so I can do kind of a deep dive video about it. She never got back with me. And I understand she's still grieving, completely understand. But in this video, we have four kids that passed away from hazing in 2021. And then the last one is from 2020. Hazing is more of a wanting to belong. You know, people do it because they want to get into the sororities and the fraternities to feel like they're included with someone. And to be honest, if you're part of one of these groups, you were like the in kids, the cool crowd. It just opened a lot of doors for more opportunities. And it was good to have a big group, a fraternity or sorority on your resume. I mean, it's the truth. It's wanting to be part of a brotherhood or a sisterhood. You know, hazing has gone back to the 1800s, probably further than that. Where I feel like over the years it's gotten worse. It wasn't as bad. And now, you know, these kids, they're not being responsible as they are doing these radical, mean things to people to prove that they are worthy of being part of the brotherhood or sisterhood. You know, it comes down to people spitting in drinks and making people drink it. It comes down to people eating weird bugs. It's kind of like Fear Factor almost. Like, what you think of that? That's kind of like hazing, making you stay up for days on end, making you drink and drink and drink and drink, making you do chores, weird chores for other people. And it has gotten so bad that I think in 2008 is when they finally came up with some type of law that put some restrictions on hazing. But a lot of time these colleges, they know it's kind of like a tradition, you know, and they are like, oh, okay, well, we're going to turn our head for one day and y'all can have this horrible hazing of these new students for one day. And to me, that makes the kids think they got to go all out and ends up in deaths. And these are children, other children doing this to other children. You know, you have one guy telling him to drink 3 beers. But then the next guy that tells him to drink 3 beers, he doesn't know the guy before him told him to drink 3 beers. And it's like every single time someone sees them from the fraternity, they're like, oh, drink this or drink this or drink this. And they're hammered. It either needs to be completely outlawed or it has to have some restrictions. If it's a tradition, there should be some type of safe hazing, you know, with adults that aren't messed up. Because usually when they haze, they're drunk too, you know? And I recently heard a case about this one boy that died because he was fed too much chowder or something like that. And it blew my mind. Like, it just, I will be talking more throughout the videos about hazing and the dangers and all that stuff. But I do want to get to this first person. It actually happened November 20th, 2021. His name was Nijin, and he was only 21 years old, y'all. He was admitted into the fraternity Pi Alpha Phi, and this was at Michigan State University. He was found unresponsive at 2 a.m. In addition, 4 other kids were found unresponsive and transported to the local hospital with FAT. So the firefighters came in and they tried to save him, but they were unable to. They were having a booze-fueled bash welcoming new members. FAT was a business student. He died of alcohol intoxication. And 3 other pledges were hospitaled after crossing party hosted by the now banned Pi Alpha Phi. The 4 were allegedly found unconscious and reeking of urine in a dirty basement, wearing nothing but shorts. The pledge master, Ethan Cowell, the pledge dad, Andrew Nijin, and no, Fat and Andrew were not related. And the frat president, Hung Pham, are facing charges of hazing resulting in death and hazing resulting in physical injury. Witness described the disturbing party, saying the pledges in the Asian American interest frat were passed out in a dank basement with Cheerios cereal scattered on the floor. Pledges were left unconscious on mattresses on the ground, wearing nothing but shorts with words like simps scrawled on their backs. One person said they saw a pledge convulsing with blood dripping from his nose. The air got really thick. One person said it was really gross, like you could smell something, and it wasn't even just urine. It was a mix of something just kind of like vomit. Another attendee went down to the basement to gawk with the pledges and take photos before heading back up to the party. It wasn't a secret. Everyone knew what was going on, the witness said. It just happened to be that people would go down there. I guess take photos, go back up, dance, party, get bored, go back down there. Police officers called to the party around 2 a.m. found Fat unconscious and not breathing. An autopsy report confirmed alcohol intoxication was the cause of death. According to the news, the 3 accused former frat boys, who are facing up to 15 years in prison, $1,000 fee, are not enrolled in the MSU for the fall. The Lansing State Journal reported. A lawyer for one of the accused said that the case will come down to whether Fat was forced into drinking. The question becomes whether or not this is hazing, or this is where I am not minimalizing anything. Was this drinking at a college party, which occurs right, wrong, or indifferent all day, every day throughout the country? And that was said by Andrew Nijen's attorney named Brian Morley. Yeah, Brian, you're a piece of crap. Just letting you know. That's fucked up. Okay. East Lansing police said Fat died from drinking too much alcohol. This isn't the first time a college student has died from hazing, but this incident has some Greek chapters taking a closer look at themselves. The first step really is just making sure it doesn't happen to begin with. That's really the only way you can prevent it, because there's not really a need for it there, said another president of a different Greek fraternity. There really just isn't much purpose. He said his fraternity doesn't haze their pledges because it's just not worth it, in his opinion. The reward of getting an expanded friend group and things like that for however long you're in college isn't worth having to do all the sorts of this extra stuff and, in some cases, die for it. Hazing has been around for hundreds of years. It's been used for fraternities and sororities, sports teams, military units. However, public opinion has since turned against it in the recent years, and it's also a violation of the student code of conduct at MSU and many other schools. It really just falls on the chapters at this point. There's a lot of personal accountabilities that needs to be taken, and I think we do a good job of that by just being transparent with people. He said that the university did their part. The Pi Alpha Phi chapter was disbanded and privileges were revoked. And he says that him being his own president of his own Greek fraternity, he'll be making sure no one in his fraternity is being secretly hazed. Aside from just not doing it, the main thing is, I think really kind of repeatedly taking the temperature, I guess, with our pledge classes. Really just checking in, making sure everything's all good with them and that they're all having fun. Hazing is illegal in Michigan under Garrett's law. Michigan State University officials said they have a strict zero tolerance policy when it comes to hazing. Three students from MSU have been charged, and that is Ethan Tinkow, Andrew Hong Nijen, and Hong John Hu Pham, and they were charged with one felony count of hazing resulting in death and three misdemeanor counts of hazing resulting in physical injury. On September of 2022, though, Hong John Hu Pham charges were dropped. That's crazy to me. On June 5th, 2023, the family of the deceased Michigan State University student is filing a lawsuit against 17 named people and 50 unnamed people. And the other two that were charged still have not gone to trial yet. So this is still fresh. They haven't even gone to trial yet for Fat's death. And I'm hoping throughout the trial, more comes out from witnesses about what really happened to the boys. Don't like to say this, but I see that it could be a hate crime, because all the boys that were down there, they said were of Asian descent, that were all passed out and had to go to the hospital. So that's something to think about. And I know that throughout these videos, there's going to be more of that too, that, you know, certain races and certain ethnicity or certain skin colors, you are going to be pinpointed throughout this, and I know it. And it just really sucks that our society is like this. I am very sorry to Fat's family. He was a young, inspiring, smart man, and I'm very sorry for your loss. Now, the next person that I'm going to talk about, this happened in 2021, Lofton Hazelwood. He was only 18. The University of Kentucky, and the fraternity was called Farmhouse. Thomas Lofton Hazelwood was a Henderson native in Kentucky, was identified by the Fayette County Coroner's Office as a student who died. Lofton was a first-year agricultural economics student at University of Kentucky. In a statement, his fraternity's CEO referred him as a new member. Family members said he was the youngest of four siblings and became interested in agriculture after working a summer job on a farm. He was a graduate of Henderson High School where he played on the golf team. The Kentucky Police Department was called to the farmhouse fraternity at approximately 6:22 p.m. Monday evening regarding reports of an unresponsive student. The student was taken to the UK Healthcare Chandler Hospital. Attempts to revive him were unsuccessful and he was pronounced deceased early Monday morning evening. An initial report from the Fayette County Coroner's Office said that Lofton's cause of death pending further investigation is presumed alcohol toxicity. His time of death was listed at 7:06 p.m. Monday, and the manner was listed as accident. First two investigations have been launched by the university. UK police already have begun its investigation and is in the process of interviewing people. UK's Office of Student Conduct also has begun a review. Once complete, the message added, both of these investigations will be made public, including any findings of recommendations, subject to necessary redactions to protect the privacy of the students. But we will understand better what happened and will communicate with Lofton's family and our university family. Third, as of today, the university has suspended all activities for the farmhouse fraternity while these investigations are ongoing. Focus of the chapter and of university officials involved in this review needs to remain fixed on understanding what happened and finding answers. This happened on October 18, 2021. First-year student was found unconscious at the fraternity house. He later passed away of alcohol poisoning. I had no clue what was going on. He was joining the farmhouse, and we were told that it's just a bunch of good old boys, Lofton's mother said in a recent telephone interview. What the Farmhouse Fraternity is, a Greek organization founded by students at the University of Missouri in 1905. It was formed by male students studying agriculture with the objective of building the whole man through fourfold development, intellectually, spiritually, socially, morally, and physically. The fraternity has been on University of Kentucky's campus since 1951, and it's one of the 20 social fraternities. Organization governed by the school's Interfraternity Council on the campus, Farmhouse has 48 total chapters on campuses in the U.S. and in Canada. The time after her son's death was marked by grief shared by community in Henderson County, where Lofton resided most of his life. Signs, t-shirts, and text messages in support of Lofton supported his family through forever heartbreak. 2 months after Lofton's death, high school students proposed anti-hazing legislation during the annual Kentucky Youth Assembly mock government. Students approved the bill overwhelmingly, laying the foundation for Senate Bill 9, known as Lofton's Law. Since the bill was introduced last year, Tracy Hazelwood has engaged with students, community members, and legislators on the dangers of hazing. A tradition, what happens in secrecy, and she says too often. It's not limited to college campuses. Just last month, an alleged hazing incident was reported among football players in Henderson County High School. Hopefully to God, they'll stop. My son passed away, and I don't want anyone else to ever go through this. We feel like we owe it to him to do this. Nolan, a University of Kentucky senior and a member of the Beta Theta Phi fraternity, agrees. Though he was never hazed, he supports anti-hazing legislation. If a parent sends their son off to college, I don't think they should die for no reason at all, just so they can make friends, Nolan said. And that is so true, Nolan. You know, it sucks because I don't think anyone's been charged with his death. They made it, you know, they pronounced it as an accident. There are no accidents. They tie up these guys and they force them on their knees and they pour alcohol down their throats forcibly. Not all hazing, but some, yes. And we don't know if that's happened. We don't know if that happened to Lofton. And it's like he was just swept under the rug. No questions asked. I don't know. I guess the investigation's still going on, but that's all the information I have so far. I'm very sorry to Lofton's family and his mother. I just hope that y'all are healing And it's amazing that they are trying to get Lofton's law added as an anti-hazing law. And I hope it goes through. I really do. And I hope it's implemented. The next person, his name is Stone Foltz. It happened in 2021. He was part of Pi Kappa Alpha, Bowling Green State University. Foltz was only 20 years old. He allegedly consumed copious amounts of alcohol on the night of March 4th, 2021. He was found unconscious by his roommates and flown to a Toledo hospital where he was put on life support until he eventually died on March 7th, 2021. His death was due to alcohol intoxication. So, five former Bowling Green State University fraternity brothers convicted of hazing Stone Foltz were sentenced Thursday by Wood County Common Pleas Judge Joel Coleman. And these are their names. Dylan Dunson, 22 of Cleveland, previously pleaded guilty to reckless homicide, tampering with evidence, and obstructing justice, all third-degree felonies, and 8 counts of hazing, 7 counts of failure to comply with underage alcohol laws, and 1 count of obstructing official business. All misdemeanors. Dunson served as president of Bowling Green's chapter of Pi Kappa Alpha International Fraternity, better known as Pike. Foltz, sophomore from Delaware, Ohio, was rushing the fraternity in early 2021 as part of the pledging process. Foltz attended a Big Little Night initiation event March 4th, 2021, during which he drank a liter of Evan Williams bourbon. He died several days later of fatal alcohol intoxication. In the emotional plea, Foltz's father, Corey, asked Judge Coleman to sentence the men in the maximum allowed under Ohio law. Coleman sentenced Dunson 21 days in jail, followed by 28 days of house arrest and then 3 years of probation. Are you fucking serious? This makes me feel sick. That's all he got for being part of murdering somebody? In Ohio, reckless homicide is punishable by up to 5 years in prison. That should be way more than that, y'all. And $10,000 in fines. Garrett Rizzle, 19 of Olin, New York, pleaded guilty to reckless homicide and 8 counts of hazing. He was the first to enter such a plea in connection with Foltz's death. Rizzle was sentenced to 28 days in jail, starting July 18th, along with 28 house arrest and 2 years probation. Ben Boyers, 21 of Sylvania, pleaded guilty to third-degree felony reckless homicide, fifth-degree felony obstructing justice, and 8 counts of misdemeanor hazing. He was sentenced to 28 days of house arrest and 2 years probation. Niall Sweeney, 21 of Erie, Pennsylvania, pleaded guilty to felony tampering with evidence and hazing. He was given a 2 week sentence in jail, 28 days of house arrest, and 2 years of probation. Aaron Leanne, 21 of Loveland, Ohio, pleaded guilty to hazing, tampering with evidence, and obstructing official business. He was also sentenced to 28 days of house arrest and 2 years probation. All of the men sentenced Thursday were also ordered to complete 100 hours of community service, 10 hours of which Coleman said the court will credit for any anti-hazing related activities they complete. Dunson and Prizzle are also required to finish their college degree as part of their probation. Three other men have yet to be sentenced, and that is Jacob Wren, 21 of Delaware, and Troy Hickerson, Grove City, stood trial last month in Wood County Common Pleas Court. Were convicted by a jury of several lesser charges. Friend was found guilty of hazing, failure to comply with the underage alcohol laws, and obstructing official business, all misdemeanors. Henrickson was found guilty of 8 counts of hazing and 7 counts of failure to comply with the underage alcohol laws, all misdemeanors. The jury found them not guilty of several more severe felony charges, including involuntarily manslaughter, reckless homicide, and felonious assault. Friend and Hickerson will be sentenced in July. Canyon Claudwell, 21 of Dublin, Ohio, was convicted on 1 count of obstructing justice and 8 counts of misdemeanor hazing. Caldwell previously was indicted on involuntary manslaughter and tampering with evidence, both third-degree felonies. Obstructing justice and 8 counts of hazing, 7 counts of failure to comply with underage alcohol laws, and obstructing official business. The involuntary manslaughter charge against Caldwell was dismissed. The tampering with evidence charge was reduced to obstruction, fifth-degree felony. The charge carries with it a maximum sentence of 1 year in prison. All of Caldwell's remaining misdemeanors were also dismissed. He will be sentenced later this month. Now, that is the most bull crap I've ever heard. They need to pass a law to make these sentences longer. That blows my mind that all these boys can get away with doing this to Stone and him dying from it. He was only 20, y'all. 20. He was a baby. He just started his life. Just got out of high school. Just got in to college. This is really upsetting me. It baffles me that all these boys colluded together to try to cover up what happened. So, Bolt's parents, Sherry and Corey, said after Thursday's sentences, while maybe the conclusion for the men who were convicted, there will be no closure for the family until hazing is eradicated from college campuses. Universities and Greek organizations must be held accountable for creating and supporting environments that allow hazing to thrive. Stone and countless other students have been tragically injured or killed because people in power refuse to protect them. We fully intend to take steps to require all Ohio universities to actively enforce their police so that hate policies, so that hazing, which is rampant on their campuses, ends for good. There's no other accountable alternative from Stone's family or our family. These young men now have criminal records that will follow them for the rest of their lives. Their acts are senseless and completely preventable, but these young men were acting with a system created for them by adults. A lot of people agree that hazing has been tolerated by universities and Greek organizations on campus for far too long, and that real changes need to take place in order to save young lives. We're committed to doing everything we can within our justice system to hold those in power, including the university, accountable for their inaction and woeful failure to end hazing on campus. 8 people are facing charges in the death of Stone Fultz. 6 of the 8 are facing felony involuntary manslaughter charges in Fultz's death. The Wood County Prosecuting Office announced the indictments are on Thursday. Other charges include reckless homicide and hazing and evidence tampering. Fultz was given a copious amount of alcohol at an off-campus party hosted by the Ohio College's Pi Kappa Alpha chapter, which is also known as Pike. Members of the fraternity dropped Fultz off at his apartment after the party, and his roommates called 911. He was in dire condition when he arrived at the hospital, according to dispatch. The March death isn't the first time a chapter of the Pi Kappa Alpha fraternity has been penalized. In 2013, the Miami University chapter was suspended after 70 screen grabs, a post found on Facebook page for active members included semi-nude photos of young women, references to drug sales and hazing. The international fraternity is horrified and outraged by this incident. The fraternity's national headquarters said in a statement shortly after Fultz's death, the fraternity has a zero tolerance policy towards illegal activity, substance abuse, bullying, and hazing of any kind. Now, yes, they can put policies into place. They can put laws into place, but kids will be kids. And kids will try to secretly keep their traditions and still haze members. It is, I think, the kids' responsibility to tell someone that they're being hazed. Or if you see something, say something. That is what I always say. I am very sorry to Stone's family that they lost such a light in their life, and it breaks my heart. It really outrages me, to be honest. That is such a fucking problem. This is a problem, and no one is doing really anything about it. Yeah, like I said, you can have policies and laws and stuff like that, but it's still going to happen. The next person I will talk about is Adam Oakes. and this happened in 2021, Delta Chi, Virginia Commonwealth University, Oaks, a 19-year-old pledge, was told to consume large amounts of Jack Daniel's whiskey at a fraternity party the night of February 26, 2021. He was found dead the next morning. Adam spent the fall and the early spring semester traveling back and forth between VCU and home. Sometimes he would go home for a long weekend and stay a few extra days because he was lonely without a social outlet. Adam had a strong group of friends from high school, but he'd always been a homebody and very close to his parents. Because of the campus pandemic restrictions, Adam was having a hard time meeting people because he was sequestered in his room doing online classes and studying. He was searching for a group of guy friends like he had back home, so he decided to join a fraternity. Tragically, the decision to join the Delta Chi fraternity at VCU cost 19-year-old Adam his life. On February 26, 2021, Adam attended the Delta Chi Big Little Brother Reveal Night. The event was his first as a pledge, and along with a few of his friends from high school, he hoped the process would lead to Delta Chi membership. Early the next morning, Adam was found unresponsive in the Delta Chi house where the event was held. When first responders arrived, Adam was pronounced dead at the scene. The medical examiner's report stated that Adam's cause of death was alcohol overdose. The medical examiner's findings read in part, "We now have the scientific evidence needed to confirm his death was caused by hazing. Specifically, the excessive amounts of alcohol in the fraternity supplied and pressured him to drink that night at the Delta Chi Big Little event." In the weeks leading up to his death, Adam was at home with his parents. They knew he was participating in fraternity recruitment. Not knowing anything about the fraternities at VCU, his mom and dad, Eric and Linda, supported their son's decision to join, thinking their only child was safe by joining a chapter that was officially recognized by the campus. They were happy he was trying to make friends, getting out of his residence hall, and breaking out of his shell. During Adam's Zoom interview with Delta Chi, Eric overheard someone ask Adam what he would bring to Delta Chi, should they offer, and why should they offer him membership. Adam responded that he had given a lot of thought to what he could bring to the group, and that he was great with websites and social media. He felt like he could help with their online presence. The Delta Chi members responded enthusiastically to Adam's answer because their current website guy was graduating that spring, so Adam could feel that need for them. Adam was really excited to feel like he found a place where he fit and had something to offer, Eric remembers. After the interview process in mid-February, Delta Chi offered Adam a bid to join their pledge class. Adam had been at home, virtually attended classes, and returned to VCU that week specifically so that he could attend the Big Little Reveal Night event. The day before he went back to Richmond, Adam and his mom went shopping for a suit to wear at the upcoming pledge events. Prior to leaving his resident hall to attend the event that Friday night, Adam was nervous about what the Delta Chi members were planning that night. He was anxious and worried. We didn't know what fraternity he was pledging, so we had no information about them. We only knew that Adam was going to learn who his big brother was that night. The big brother was to be his mentor, the person to look out for him, take care of him, show him the ropes, and teach him about the fraternity life. That night ended up being Adam's first and last night as a Delta Chi pledge. No one looked out for him. After Adam's death, his family learned even more about his character. Adam's memorial service, a friend shared a story about a girl sitting on the floor in the hallway of their high school. She was crying, and students bustled around her to get to class. When Adam saw her, he stopped and sat down next to her. He didn't know her, but Adam told his friends to go ahead to class without him so he could sit with her until she felt better. That's just who he was. He never left without hugging you goodbye and saying, "I love you." His last text to me was just saying, "I love you." That's the type of kid he was. He wanted you to know how he felt about you, no questions asked. His death devastated the entire family, especially his mom and dad. Eric shares, when Adam died, so did a huge piece of us. He was our only child and a true gift from God, as we thought we couldn't have children. He was our sunshine. His death had ruined our lives and left a huge hole in our hearts that will never be repaired. We miss him so much. How do you go on without the light of your life? Adam's family quickly formed the Love Like Adam Foundation to keep his memory alive, but also doing good for others. Their foundation will award 3 annual scholarships to students from Adams High School who mirror Adam's characteristics and traits. Students who may not have a 4.0 GPA are kind and good to other people. They also want to share Adam's story to equip graduating seniors and their families with a better understanding of the pressures students face during the transition from high school to higher education. The family is lobbying to change Virginia's hazing law from a misdemeanor to a felony to deter hazing, as well as hold those who haze more accountable for their actions. Adam's family connected with the Gordy Center shortly after Adam's death, and the Gordy Center reached out with condolences. It was so beneficial to read about Gordy, his story, and his family journey throughout this process. Our hope is that the Gordy Center will continue to get the word out about hazing, its prevention, and its impact on everyone involved. Adam was an amazing person, a kind and caring soul who also tried to include everyone in everything he did. He is more than what happened to him. We hope that sharing Adam's story will help the Gordy Center educate others in the dangers of hazing. Adam's death, as well as the death of other hazing victims, was preventable. All were special kids with amazing lives to be led, only to be cut short by the choices other people made to haze, not get help, and continue a tradition of destruction. If you think this won't happen to you, please think again. Nobody should fear for their life to gain entry or acceptance into a fraternity, sorority, or any other type of club. We do not want any other family members to go through this pain, heartache, and misery we go through every day since Adam's death. Adam had such a wonderful future ahead of him, but was senselessly cut short. Please educate your kids on what constitutes hazing, what to do if they see it happening, and all the above. Teach them what to do when they think someone needs help, Eric pleads. Linda's birthday came on June 27th, exactly 4 months after Adam's death. Eric heard an alarm going off in their house that day and traced the sound to Adam's MacBook. Adam had set a calendar reminder for Linda's birthday, so when Eric looked at the laptop screen, the calendar alert and the note Adam had written with the alarm. Happy birthday, Mama. You're my favorite. The moment was a sweet and heartbreaking reminder of their precious boy and what they have lost, Eric says. Adam didn't want to die that night. He only wanted to join the fraternity to make new friends. Adam believed in being kind to everyone and bringing out the best in people. I know he made my wife and I better just by knowing him. It's time for hazing to be eliminated for the safety and health of all. We want Adam's legacy to be about change. Family of Adam is suing the Delta Chi fraternity and several others for $28 million, according to a lawsuit filed Monday. Witness said that the other fraternity members took Adam and the other pledges outside to throw up on the lawn, but Oaks did not throw up, according to the lawsuit. They even took him back to the fraternity house and abandoned him on the floor, the lawsuit states. The next morning, Oaks was pronounced dead at the scene with a blood alcohol content level 0.419%, according to the suit. In the wrongful death lawsuit obtained by CNN, 13 VCU Delta Chi chapter members are listed as though being involved in the hazing procedure. 11 of them were charged in connection with the death of Oaks by the Richmond police. All 11 were charged for unlawful hazing of a student, and 6 were additionally charged with purchasing and providing alcohol to a minor in September 2021. Of those 11, 4 have pleaded guilty, 3 have not entered a plea, and 2 had their cases dropped. 1 pleaded no contest, and 1 entered a different plea, according to the court records. The Richmond Commonwealth Attorney's Office told CNN that since several of the defendants charged in the case have pending court dates, The rules and ethics and professional responsibility prevent them from commenting on the case. According to the suit, the VCU chapter of Delta Chi operates as an unincorporated association, but the incorporated arm has the power to revoke charter of the chapter, order that its activities cease, and in effect deem the existence of the unincorporated association as being terminated, unknown to Adam and his family, and known, never disclosed by Delta Chi or the VCU chapter to Adam. That the VCU chapter has a long history of engaging in high-risk misconduct at VCU that resulted in VCU revoking its recognition in August of 2018 and prohibiting its presence or activity at VCU for a period of 4 years due to serious health and safety concerns involving the VCU chapter and its activity, the lawsuit states. Despite this, as chapter's legal counsel worked to reinstate the organization on campus, the lawsuit added. In statement shared with CNN Wednesday, Delta Chi's international headquarters for the fraternity said Adam's death and other tragedies in recent years make clear that fraternity members, organizations, and society continue to have more work to do, raising the misuse of alcohol and putting the health and safety of any person at risk has no place in Delta Chi, the statement said. Fraternity continues to fund hazing prevention research, support meaningful anti-hazing legislation, and provide member safety and hazing prevention education to Delta Chi chapters. Wow. Wow. So, like, at the time, they weren't even part of VCU. They provoked them for 4 years, and they were still acting like a fraternity in 2021, and they were provoked in 2018. So that was only 3 years. They still had a whole year to go before they can try to reinstate their fraternity. But Adam and his family and all the other people didn't even know this. Wow, y'all. And this one really had me choking up, especially about knowing a little bit more about Adam and what his family said about him. That breaks my heart so much. He was just a kid trying to make friends. So just know anytime that you join a fraternity or sorority or a club, and they say, well, you know, we got some hazing, please be careful. Please, please, please be careful. If you feel this is going too far, you scream no and just walk away. Walk away. And then you need to let someone know what's going on because it could end up saving someone's life. I'm very sorry to Adam's family. I'm so sorry that that happened to y'all. Sending you huge hugs and healing. The next person is Gracie Leanne Dimmitt. I hope I'm saying her last name right. She was part of Kappa Pi Alpha, Emory and Henry University. Dimmitt and other sorority sisters partook in Henry College's The 500, a tradition in which students would drive various streets near campuses very quickly and dangerously, attempting to drift the cars. Dimmitt was sitting behind the driver's seat when a fishtail occurred and the car flipped into trees. Now, parents of Gracie Dimmitt have sued Emory and Henry College for her death at age 20 on July 16, 2020. Gracie was a member of Kappa Pi Alpha, KPA, sorority, to wit, a KPA driver in an SUV speed along a gravel road adjacent to campus at breathneck speed while Gracie and two other occupants screamed as if they're on a roller coaster. Police reported the driver had indulged in cannabis from a bong and admitting sipping a partial alcoholic drink. Seconds before the crash, the KAP sisters took a group photo. Gracie's life was at risk in the moment she stepped foot in the car, said nationally known activist Courtney White, cousin of Pledge Adam Oakes, who died in a hazing at Virginia Commonwealth University in 2021. Emory and Henry students called the stunt 500, a reference to the Indianapolis 500. Gracie's scream died with her. Car sailed off the gravel into a tree. Media had reported no deaths occurring during the pandemic of 2020. HPO's belief that 2020 had been deathless disintegrated with Gracie Dimmitt's tragic passing. Her KPA sorority sister is soon to face a grand jury considering involuntary manslaughter charges. An honor student and former starting basketball player, Lauren N. Zeller, now will spend the rest of her life with the consequences of bad judgment. It happens regularly that a death is found to be the hazing months or a year following a tragedy. Although rare, a death can occur to an initiated member like Gracie. No longer a pledge, according to Courtney White. The database at handnuker.com, my unofficial clearinghouse of hazing deaths, show one or more deaths from hazing in student group social groups each year from 1959 to 2021. More outstanding, one or more deaths from hazing in college or high school occurred annually from 1948 to 2021. Exceptions were 1952 and 1958. When I started covering hazing deaths as a reporter nearly 50 years ago, the media referred to hazing as a good-natured and a hazing death as accidental. No more. The night Dimmitt died, she had hosted a gathering at her apartment with other sorority members, the lawsuit states. One of the sorority members drove as other sorority sisters rode as passengers. When the car made it to the top of the hill, the driver exited the vehicle to take a picture of the group, commemorating what in all likelihood would be their last running of the 500 before graduation. The car ride then became deadly. The driver drove the vehicle at an excessively high rate of speed and fishtailed into a turn on Ida Benna Road, a gravel road, causing the vehicle to overturn and crash into trees. The lawsuit notes that the driver never applied her brakes. Previous to Dimmitt's death revealed that she had been sitting behind the driver's seat and died of blunt force trauma. Last October, a grand jury indicted the driver, Lauren Nicole Saylor, on a charge of involuntary manslaughter. According to online court records, the case hasn't gone to trial yet. The lawsuit alleges that the college established the regulated this system of fraternities and sororities, none of which are affiliated with any national organizations, as part of its effort to attract and retain students. Emory and Henry used its Greek system as a marketing tool to attract students, including Gracie, with representations of a active and safe social life at Emory and Henry, the lawsuit states. The lawsuit alleges that the sorority Dimmitt joined in the fall of 2018, Kappa Phi Alpha, still participated in hazing events. The lawsuit claims the 500 constitutes hazing because it recklessly and intentionally endangers the health and safety of Emory and students in connection with their members in a sorority. Hazing is illegal under Virginia state law. Dimmitt's father alleges that Gracie participated in a number of hazing activities, which included physical beatings, zip-tying pledges to one another and consuming massive quantities of alcohol, and a activity called the Emory 500, or the 500. The lawsuit claims the college had been aware of the Emory 500 for many years prior to Dimmitt's death. After she died, the Dimmitts were informed that she died while doing the 500. They had never heard of it before. Dimmitt's parents say they didn't know about the hazing until their daughter died. We were unaware of hazing incidents prior to Gracie's death, but have since found evidence of hazing by way of pictures, group chats, videos, and sorority binders, not only including 500ing, but other dangerous activity as well. Dimmitt's parents wrote to the News Channel 11, "Sorority sisters of Gracie's reached out to us as well following her death." Since the college graduates' Greek organization at the school, the lawsuit accuses it of several counts of negligence, claiming that Emory and Henry endorsed Greek life on campus and encouraged students to join organizations which Emory and Henry knew were engaging in risky and dangerous hazing activities. The lawsuit by Dimmitt's father seeks a jury trial, $5 million in damages, and $350,000 in punitive damages. The Dimmitts don't want this to happen to anyone else's daughter or son. They feel very strongly that college needs to be fun, but it needs to be safe, and they want changes made so that this doesn't happen to someone else. According to Dimmitt's parents, E&H President John Wells told them the college was taking action following their daughter's death. We were told that the process of petitioning the road to be closed but through traffic had already begun, and the student's code of conduct would be updated to include any student found 500ing would face expulsion, Dimmitt's parents wrote. As of today, we have not seen the language added to the student code of conduct. It is currently available online, nor was it ever addressed publicly or privately within Greek life or other students. There is only one residence on Ida Benna Road, and it was purchased after our initial meeting by Emery and Henry, and has since been converted to student housing, making the gravel road even more frequently traveled by students. According to Morrison, had the college taken action, the lawsuit wouldn't have been filed. If Emery would have added to the code of conduct that was that if anyone is caught doing the 500, they'll be suspended or expelled, as they told the Dimmitts they would immediately after Gracie's death, if they had taken real steps to close the road, we wouldn't be here, Morrison said. It's as simple as that. We would not want to be here, but they were ignored. And when we tried to reach out to them and do something about this, we were ignored. Yikes, y'all. Yikes. This college promised her parents that they would, you know, certain action, and they never followed up on it. They just ignored it, never did nothing about it. And when they tried to, like, say, hey, why aren't you doing something about this? They ignored them. So the parents said, okay, lawsuit. If you're not going to try to make some changes where other students do not die, we will make you listen to us and make you go, huh, maybe we should have done these things to help make our students safe at our school, and we wouldn't be getting sued the crap out of right now. There are so many times that people have noticed hazing going on and they just turn the other way and act like it's not. Older people think, oh, it's just hazing, you know, it's just fun, it's just, it ain't that bad. No, it's not. Not when you're tying kids and beating them. I mean, have they not realized how bad hazing has gotten? It's not something that is fun anymore. It's very dangerous. It's killing people. It's time for adults, teachers, faculty, staff, board of education, whoever is in charge. They need to see how dangerous this is. They let these immature kids do this to these other kids, and it is killing them. Oh yeah, maybe we shouldn't make him eat his own feces, or make him, maybe we shouldn't dig a hole and put people in the ground during freezing temperatures and hose them with a water hose when they can go into hypothermia. It's common sense. It's like they lack the common sense. It just upsets me, y'all. This was the last person of today's video, but eventually I will come out with another one. Y'all, I'm getting so upset. I'm over here. My sassiness is coming out. I'm cursing up a storm. I'm mad. But this stuff shouldn't be happening. I know this really didn't, like, tell all the details and every single thing about the person. But like I said, this is just kind of a little series I'm doing. So if you have any suggestions of a case that you would like me to cover, I will take it into consideration and I will dive deep into it and kind of put my spin on it. If there was stuff left out, I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to go into detail and to get all the details. I was just trying to get like a synopsis of each case. But that is the end of today's video. I am very happy that you were here and you heard me rant and vent. And yeah, sometimes I get crazy. I'm sorry. But I believe everyone should have a voice and be remembered. And also, these are lessons that we can learn. It's something that we can learn from. And it's just getting the word out, y'all. Just please be safe. Let your kids know the dangers of hazing. And if you see something, say something. I love y'all so much. Thank you for being here. I will see y'all next month. I will see y'all in January. Please be safe and like and subscribe.